This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
The calendar may say it's winter, but it's always a good time to be focusing on the boys of summer. From the stars who make the plays on the diamond, to the ones who make the decisions in the front office, let's bring you inside your hometown nine with Inside Twins. Inside Twins is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
Well, welcome inside our network headquarters here at Target Field for Inside Twins. For those of you joining us live across our various streaming platforms, whether you're on the Twins Facebook page, via our YouTube link, that was a cool graphic of our guest today, Ryan Jeffers, who will be joining us from his home in North Carolina. It has been a heck of a week. Last week, we joined you from Winter Caravan. We were live with Cody Funderburk from a Case IH dealership in Watertown, South Dakota. Another final leg of the caravan out as we speak. Louis Varland, Matt Wallner, Corey Provis, LaTroy Hawkins. In between, we've had the Diamond Awards. We have also had an amazing night at the Fillmore to kick off Twins Fest, and we had a full glorious weekend of Twins Fest here at Target Field. We've also, oh, by the way, had a trade, and I think this was something people had been expecting to go down. It did happen, and we have to say goodbye to the longest tenured Twin prior to the trade. Look at that young, dapper Jorge Polanco in that picture, debuted at 20. Good shot of Max and Polo. They were signed in the same international free agent class. They were roommates as teenagers, as 16-year-olds down in Fort Myers. Jorge Polanco, 18th all-time in the Twins archives in home runs, 17th in runs batted in, 19th in hits, 19th in doubles. He has had a phenomenal career in Minnesota, and he will now take his considerable talents on to Seattle. In return, the Twins, a bounty of newcomers. Anthony DeSclafani has the longest major league resume. You see him here in action for the Giants, 33-year-old out of Bruce Springsteen's hometown of Freehold, New Jersey. DeSclafani's been a Red. He's been a Giant. Never actually pitched for the Mariners. That's where the Twins get him. Justin Topa, also a part of the trade. Justin Topa is a 32-year-old. Topa last year, 75 appearances for Seattle out of the bullpen. It was his first real breakout year. He'd only appeared in 17 games total in three prior years in Milwaukee. He had really a nice season out of the bullpen. So Justin Topa, his sinker baller, you can see that kind of low arm angle for those of you, again, joining us on our live streaming platforms. And then a couple of prospects as well, as the Twins do quite well in this swap for Jorge Polanco. Darren Bowen is a 23-year-old right-hander out of UNC Pembroke, and he is a guy the Twins were very close to drafting last year. 1 year of pro ball under his belt. And then Gabriel Gonzalez, a top 100 prospect and an outfielder, a 20-year-old from Venezuela. So a lot of moving parts in this deal. And to talk about that and a whole lot more, let's welcome in Mr. Ryan Jeffers, who, fresh off of a wonderful appearance at Twins Fest, back home in North Carolina, and kind enough to give us some time. So first of all, I want to just go back to Twins Fest briefly. I saw you bopping around the Fillmore on Friday night. You always seem to be right in your element when you're out at these fan participation type events. Are you having as much fun with the fans as you appear to be having?
Yeah, you know, it's always, thanks for having me, but it's always, those events are always fun. It's always a moment that kind of kicks off the season for us, kicks off, you know, we get to see our teammates again. We get to say hi to their wives. We get to just really chat it again. You know, we spend so much time. And then on top of that, we get to go to these cool events and talk to so many fans and take a lot of pictures and make a lot of people smile. And that's a fun part about this job that kind of goes over the radar, is we're able to make a lot of people smile.
Well, you definitely did that. And often you'll bump into a guy and he'll either have worked out, changed his body style, maybe grew his hair out, maybe grew a mustache. Was there anybody that surprised you of your teammates that you hadn't seen in a while, maybe hadn't FaceTimed with, and you're like, whoa, dude, you've changed?
You know, There wasn't a ton. Everybody looked really familiar. I know Kirilov really grew out his beard. So if we're going physical characteristics, that might be the top one for me. It's just he really thickened out his beard. I didn't notice any other real big changes. You know, a lot of the offseason work goes on in the weight room, and nobody really looked like they added a ton of pounds, which is a good thing.
Yeah, everybody looked lean and healthy, and mm-hmm. and I tell you, it looked like the squad was ready to go. We started with the Polo news. Obviously, this is not, I don't think, a shock. People thought that perhaps Jorge Polanco would be moving on, because why wouldn't a team want a guy with his skill set? Ryan, you joined a club that Jorge was already firmly established on. You've been his teammate for quite a while now. Here is a guy who could put together as tough and professional at bat in a big spot against a high-quality pitcher as anybody in a Twins uniform. What are some of the things you take away from your time with Polanco?
He was such an icon for the team, for the franchise. You talk about longest tenured Twin for a reason. He had such an impact in the organization. And like you said, professional at bats, playing good defense, just a good role model in the locker room. He knew he was a very approachable guy. You could walk up to him and have a good conversation. He's having fun. He's a guy you hate to see go, but you understand the business side of how this works. And a lot of times you have to give up somebody that means a lot for a team and for an organization to get something that will make, quote unquote, make your team better in the end.
Yeah, and again, it's giving good to get good. We saw it with the Luis Arraez deal. Everybody's sad to see Louis go, but boy, certainly happy to see Pablo walking through the door. And as a catcher, DeSclafani, obviously a longer track record. Topa had the one big year. Will you immediately either try to reach out to somebody who's caught them or who knows them, or maybe even to them directly, start looking at what they throw at some of their charts? Or will you wait until you meet them in spring training before you go through that process?
I'm sure here over the next week or so, I'll get some information on them, whether it's from the pitching side of things, whether it's from Hank on the catching side of things. I'll get some information of what they throw, how they like to attack guys. But honestly, it's going to come down to a conversation in spring training. Any new guy, any minor league sign, anybody that's going to be in big league camp, then anybody I'll have to catch in a game or catch a bullpen, I'll find time to sit with them and really chat about how they like to attack guys, what their thought process is on the mound. That's the biggest part of my job is controlling that pitching staff. So that's going to be important once we get to spring training to really sit down and get to know them as people and as pitchers.
Ryan Jeffers is our guest, Twins catcher, here on Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. Locally owned and operated, how memories are created, legends are made. Again, for those of you joining us on the Twins social media platforms, we'll take questions from you later in the show for Ryan. You can see some of that North Carolina sunshine streaming through on a lovely Wednesday. And obviously, we also appreciate everybody listening in all across our fine network of radio affiliates here in Twins territory. Your off season is a little different than last year. I don't know if people can possibly appreciate what you did over the course of last offseason. You completely overhauled your swing, and you completely overhauled your arm path defensively. We'll start with the swing, and we're going to get some awesome video of what you did with that swing. You came to camp all spread out. You've got great trunks. You've got a great base. You've always been strong. You were spread out, and you said, look, I'm finding comfort in it. I'm finding comfort in it. When did it click? Because you had the best offensive season of your career.
Yeah, there was a ton of work that went in the offseason. You know, me and Popkins, our hitting coach, we went through it. We did every day. We were getting work in. We were finding movement patterns. We were on FaceTime in the garage at 6 o'clock at night some days with a broomstick, trying to just messing with different things, trying to find what works for me. We knew we were close. We knew I had what it. I've always stayed, and I've always said and felt confident in the fact that I knew I could be a top catcher in the league. Not just defensive, not just offensively, but complete. And last year was a huge step forward in realizing that commitment to what I believe. It took a lot of work. There was a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of foundation. It's trying to lay the foundation and the building blocks of what my swing needs to be like to then, when it is a little tinker there, it's tinkering off of a foundation that's pretty established and you know that you can trust day in and day out.
So this offseason, having that foundation in place, has it been a different type of work for you? I know you're still putting in a ton of hours, but is it a different type of work than it was when you were literally building the foundation brick by brick?
100%. It's a lot less explorative. We're not.
Now you just sounded like that NASA engineer that you almost were. Right,
explorative.
There.
You know, I was better with numbers than words. That's for sure. Numbers were my thing. Explorative. You know, maybe it's a word. Maybe it's
It is now.
I don't know. You're the word guy. But you know, it's a lot less of that. It's a lot less experimenting. It's more challenging yourself of what you got. It's finding ways to challenge yourself, whether that's off the machine work, whether that's with different angles. And there's still weaknesses in what I did last year. There's still places I can get better. This game is always going to be a game where you always have to improve. If you get complacent and comfortable with where you're at, the game's going to kind of pass you by. So you got to find spots. Okay, I can get better here. I can get better there. We've done that and I'm in a really good spot right now.
Another challenge for catchers is the position has changed and the demands remain the same, but it is no longer a, hey, Ryan, you're the guy, catch 130 games type of position. You know you're going to split time with Christian Vasquez. You know that you're not going to catch every single day for the sake of your own body through the course of the season. That's a good thing because you stay healthier, but also when you find that rhythm, and you know you're not playing every single day, sometimes it also can be frustrating for guys like you and Vosky, right?
Yeah, you know, I've always told Rocco, you know, I'm going to prepare my body like I'm going to catch 120 games. My body's going to be ready to go. And then whenever my name gets called upon, it gets called upon. But it is challenging, you know, when you are feeling good, when you are rolling, to still go every other day. But you know, when you get to 162 and at the end of the year and deeper into your career and whatever you want to say, you know, there's less mileage on the legs and you feel fresher. So there's definitely a balance with all of it. I treat my body and prepare it to go all the time. You know, if I didn't do that, I'd be selling myself short. So my body's ready for whatever. And then whenever my name's called upon, you know, that's what I go out there and do what I do.
And the way Rocco ran a ball game last year, even when you were off or Christian was off, pretty good chance you're going to end up in the ball game, right? And that had to be fun too, knowing that a day off truly wasn't a day off.
Yeah, it's just sticking to making sure you're staying on top of your prep during the game and treating every day the same. Yeah, game day versus non-game day is going to be a little different, but making sure you're staying prepared through the game.
Let's talk about the arm path because that was another point of emphasis. You managed to overhaul the swing and overhaul your defensive mechanics in the same offseason, which, again, is a mind-numbing amount of work to try to get all of that done. We're getting a great shot of you throwing out a big stealer here. You came into the year knowing teams were going to run more. Now, your pitching staff, I thought, was so much improved in holding runners last year, giving you and Vasquez a chance to throw some guys out. But were you happy with where your work behind the plate ended up last season?
100%. There was a lot of just truly, you'd say arm path things, and that's what it was. For me, I wasn't moving as efficient as I could. I was able to clean up a lot of the arm path, and then which led to more consistent lower half mechanics, which led to cleaner transfer, led to just better throws. So by doing that, it took a lot of plyo ball routine, a lot of different exercises, making sure all the soft tissue, everything muscular in there was healthy and moving right to then really be able to get after the throwing program. And it definitely, I felt great throwing guys. Like you mentioned, our pitching staff, it was a big emphasis of ours in spring training of holding base runners and understanding that that's a big important, like they're a big, big important part of the run game as well, controlling the run game. You know, arguably, they're more important than what I do. A good pitcher can shut down the run game on his own. So after that, me and Vasquez, we're just the icing on the cake when they do go and we throw them out.
Yeah, it ended up being a huge part of the Twins' success a year ago. Oftentimes, we'd see a team come in with gaudy numbers on the base paths, never be a factor throughout the course of a series against the Minnesota Twins. Ryan Jeffers is our guest. Our show is Inside Twins. Jeff, we'll take a quick time out here. Our show is brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. How memories are created and legends are made. We'll let your fans pick up a nice ice-cold Killebrew Root Beer. We'll be back in just a couple of ticks. And we'll head down memory lane with you a little bit as we play Photo Album here on Inside Twins in your home for Twins baseball. As promised, we are back quickly here on Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated, how memories are created and legends are made. Joined by Ryan Jeffers, great to give us some time from his home in North Carolina after a big weekend up here in the Twin Cities. He's got his beautiful daughter, Harper, crawling around, wife, Lexi, dog, Yogi. Is Yogi in the house? Yogi roaming around today?
He's right now. Yeah. You know, Harper, she's running around everywhere now. She's way past that crawling stage. She's keeping us busy.
Your cardio will be in place by the time you get to spring training here in a couple of weeks. Well, Ryan, we call this segment Photo Album, and for those of you joining us across, again, the Twins social media platforms, whether it be our Facebook page, whether it be our YouTube channel, this is a great opportunity to have some fun. So we'll just strike up the first page of the Photo Album here on our social media platforms, and then you tell us about this young whippersnapper and that sharp shirt that he's wearing.
I guess I was always destined to kind of live down here at the beach with those surfboards and palm trees. You know, growing up, I was a straight blonde hair, as blonde as you can get it, skinny little kid. I always was the fast one. I played soccer when I was little, just running around. Gosh, I don't know what age that is. That's got to be 6'7", something.
Yeah, I'm thinking 6'7". You got that bowl cut working, the long straight hair there. And one constant, the smile, man. The smile has remained the same, right?
Yeah, and the little dimple on the chin. You know, hide it now. I hide it with the beard now, but we got that little dimple there.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. So, okay, there's the first one. Now let's move along a little bit. You've grown up a little bit in this next picture, and you're keeping good company, too, in this next picture. And are we talking prom? Are we talking homecoming? What's going on here?
Gosh, that's gotta be probably prom. One of those dances. Gosh, we look like babies there.
Yeah, and then you're on a tractor here too. I think you're rocking the tractor shot here. Probably.
We started dating when I was 15. I didn't even have my driver's license yet when we started dating. So these could be you're shooting a large shot here of years. I'm not sure exactly when all these are from, but God, we were a good looking couple.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked out. I tell you what, the bow tie you were sporting there in the first one with that baby face, remarkable. Get another shot out of here. Yeah. I don't know.
They didn't get the cummerbund down there. The matching cummerbund.
Did you tie that tie yourself?
It probably was a clip on, honestly. a lot of those tux suits that come with the tie and the cummerbund set, that's peak Raleigh, North Carolina South type prom dance right there.
Yeah, you're looking solid. You gone to the short hair, no more bowl cut. So obviously, Lexi was helping you do your hair already.
She helped me move up in the world a little bit, for sure.
She classed you up. And then another big moment at school, which was also tied to your career, signing day, as you're inking your letter of intent here.
Yeah, you know, the college recruiting process is really was different for me than it is for a lot of guys. The big summer in going for recruiting is the summer after your sophomore year. For me, I dealt with thoracic outlet syndrome. I dealt with a large blood clot in my right arm. So pretty much didn't play baseball that whole summer. So my college recruiting was kind of put on the back burner, and my health was kind of put to the forefront. I got some offers for some smaller schools, some D2 schools, but had an opportunity to go as a preferred walk-on to UNCW, which I felt just was the best opportunity for me long run to play professional baseball. You know, that was the goal. It was, where am I going to go develop? Where am I going to go get better? So UNCW was it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, boy, did you find a home there too, right? I mean, your experience there was what everybody should be so fortunate to have, the type of experience in college that you had.
Yeah, you know, my freshman year, I didn't play a lot. You know, I had to earn my right. You know, even going into my sophomore year, I wasn't top on the depth chart behind the plate. I started playing a lot more my sophomore year towards the end, and really finished with a good year. But really, then going into my junior year was when I started taking off. The scouts started taking notice. Went out to Arizona State and played a weekend and had a really, really good weekend. And the Twins had a lot of faith in me to take me as high as they did. A lot of teams didn't have me where the Twins did. On draft night, they book out the first 250 prospects. They get a profile ready for them. I was drafted 59th, and they had nothing on me. They had a headshot and height and weight, and that was about it. So the clip's pretty funny. It gets up there, announces Twins pick Ryan Jeffers, and the broadcasters kind of go, well, we don't have much on this guy at a UNC Wilmington. So that was kind of the story of my career, walking out of college, having that work out, and then even in the draft, the smart people who prepped the draft didn't even know who I was.
The Twins certainly did, and they drafted you early. And, you know, I was out with Cody Funderburk last week, and he was telling me about his time in Elizabethton. You know, he was drafted later in that draft. He said that you and Larnick came in and just hit everything for like a week, 2 weeks, and then were gone. Like, you showed up, mashed, and were gone. And he looked around, he said, at some of the other guys that remained, and were like, we're not playing the same sport as those guys. What is going on?
Yeah, me and Larnick, I think Larnick got in a little later than I did because he went to the College World Series. You know, my first experience of pro ball, I got drafted. It gave me about a week to get my stuff together and get down to Florida. Get down to Florida for about a week, and Elizabethton's short season, so the season started about a week after the draft. So we got down there. They end up loading us on a 1980s bus, all the entire team that's going up to Elizabethton, and we drove through the night. 14 hours up to Elizabethton, Tennessee from Fort Myers, Florida. And I shared a seat with a catcher's bag and a couple other pieces of luggage for all 14 hours. And that was my first taste of welcome to the Twins, welcome to pro ball, shipping you up to E-Town. So started off with me wanting to leave there as quick as possible. So we hit really well. Me and Larnick, I think I hit 400 or something in 20 games there and couldn't wait to get out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yep, that's the way it works, right? Hit your way out. Hit your way to the next spot.
So, yeah.
You certainly did that, and you've hit your way all the way to the major leagues. That's Ryan Jeffers. The segment is called Photo Album. Appreciate that trip down memory lane. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take your questions for the Twins catcher, Ryan Jeffers. That's coming up next on your home for Twins baseball.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Chris Atterbury, welcoming you back to Inside Twins. Boy, we don't have a whole lot of these shows left because spring training starts just around the corner. It's the final day of January. Gorgeous here in Twins territory. We'll be lucky to have days like this weather-wise once the season commences here in the early part of April for the home schedule. Ryan Jeffers joining us from North Carolina. We're going to take questions for Ryan. I get the first question, Ryan, and the question's actually about your workout partner, and that's old Captain America, Walker Jenkins, the Twins' number one pick a year ago. We're going to watch this video of Walker Jenkins. That's him.
Yeah.
For those of you joining us, and he's about to do some crazy stuff.
I was wondering when this was coming.
There he goes, over a giant bar. So I guess my question is, had you jumped it before, or did you jump it after and they ran out of film? Like, when was your jump?
His phone died when I jumped it.
Yeah, I knew
yeah,
it.
Yeah, his phone died. No, the kid's a freak. you take off about three or four of those plates, and that's what I got over. I was joking around. I was going to go try that. And then I ran up to it and it was kind of at my shoulder height. And I quickly made the decision to not do that and turn into a limbo bar instead.
That's a veteran move right there. That's what we call
he's
a veteran move.
He's a very, very impressive person. He's just a kid. He's 19 years old, but his body and his mind and his work ethic, it's very mature for who he is, and Twins fans should be really excited about the kid.
How did you guys end up working out at the same place? Is there a mutual connection in there?
He lives down at Oak Island. It's about 40 minutes south of here. He's been driving up here to work out with the same guy I work out with since he was in high school. You know, he was a lot of high school. I don't know when he started officially, but he's been working out there for a while. Actually, last off season was the first off season we worked out together. So we were working out before we were potential teammates, and we knew there was a possibility that he'd get drafted, or he would get drafted early. And we had kind of lucked into that five spot. So there's always a possibility. And I think it's really cool that it worked out how it has. And, I think the Twins obviously really enjoy that he's got a workout partner in me and someone that, not that they wouldn't trust him, but you wouldn't put a lot of trust in a 19-year-old kid all the time. And they've put a lot of trust in me, a lot of trust in our trainer, to get after it.
Yeah, and to have eyes on him, and he can ask you any question, and you're a guy who's come up through the system who understands what it takes to be a big leaguer and some of the hurdles that are going to be in his way, and we've seen he certainly can clear hurdles as evidenced by that video. Let's take a look at some of these questions we got rolling, and this is from Joe. How difficult is it to adjust to new pitchers who come in, and when do you become comfortable with them while you're behind the plate? Thanks, Joe.
I wouldn't say it's difficult. It's part of the job. You know, part of my job is to learn these guys and understand how they tick. So the best part about spring training is we have this time to catch bullpens, to have conversations with them, to watch their outings in game. You know, I'm not always going to catch every outing that Topa throws. So I'm going to have to watch them and realize what they do and how they like to pitch. And it's a process, but we've got about a month and a half to figure it out. And really it's the best thing we can do is just get back there and catch their bullpens, say, hey, how do you want this target? How do you like to pitch guys? What's your two strike philosophy? You know, there's lots of different thoughts that go into that, and it's not difficult, but it's part of the job, and it takes a little time to do.
I didn't look it up, but did you face either DeSclafani or Topa last year?
Yeah, I hit a homer off DeSclafani. I think I walked, and then Topa, I think he punched me on three pitches. Honestly, when I saw Topa's name thrown there, you know, I remember whenever we played Seattle, we were just, God, this guy, like, it's a super uncomfortable AB for righties. Heavy sink. He controls the ball really well. It's
an arm angle too. Kind of a good.
It's a funky.
Angle.
It's just a funky AB, and he throws hard. And I was very excited. You know, that's a big piece. You know, our bullpen's already top notch, and to add a piece like that in there is exciting.
Now tape your thumb up when you're behind the plate there when you're catching him. All right, more questions rolling, and this is from Joe. Where do you like to have your throwing hand during a pitch? And why? You're not going old school baseball card where you hold it up right next to the glove.
For me, it changes a little bit with how I'm with what stance I'm using, with how I'm set up, what situation, whether it's a blocking situation, whether it's a throwing situation. I like tucking it kind of under my belly button. That's usually the safest spot. That's usually a spot that you don't ever get a foul tip in. The scary part about putting it behind your back or behind your leg is, if you do move around a little bit, it might kick out from the side. You know, that's actually how I broke my thumb in 22. It had it behind my back, and it kind of kicked out from the side when I moved my body. So I try and keep it up there kind of by my belly button.
I always remember that broken thumb, though, because that's when Harper showed up. Your baby was born while you were recovering from that injury. We've got a few more questions coming, right?
Funky blessing in disguise there.
Yeah. Michael, I like the avatar there. Conversations with opposing batters. Are you a chatty Cathy back there with hitters?
It depends. You can kind of tell which guys talk, which guys don't. Which is the same thing goes with umpires. You can tell which ones want to talk, which ones don't. There's not like conversations per se that stick out. There's personalities more so that stick out. You know, Miguel Cabrera just being a goofball and always having fun, and then the guys that are extremely serious and don't really want to talk. That's a fun part of my job, is getting to interact with so many people.
I can remember Cabrera during the COVID season when the stadiums were empty except us sitting upstairs, and you could hear him welcome you to the big leagues when he came into the batter's box.
Yeah, the COVID series, you could hear him talking crap to the dugout. you could hear him everywhere he went on the field, which is that's part of who he is. He was a great competitor, but also just he never lacked enthusiasm and always had fun.
Would you talk with former teammates more so than with guys that maybe you don't know?
A little bit, yeah. It's hard because, you know, when they're coming to play, you don't want to have a full conversation with them. Ask them about their off the field life. How's the wife? How's the kids? You know, it's more of a, hey, good to see you. Like, hope you're doing well. Hope your kids are well. They got a job to do just as much as I do.
All right. Keep it simple and don't hit this pitch. All right, here we go. Last question here comes from the delightfully named Subway Moon Hawkinson. Ryan Jeffers, can you give me a foul ball, please? You're going to have to plan ahead. Thursday, May 9th. It looks like we're going to have a birthday. Maybe tuck a foul ball away on that one, okay?
Let's just switch it. Go sit out in the left field bleachers, and we'll turn it into home run instead of a foul ball.
I like that. Yeah. Upgrade the ticket, and let's go ahead and get a home run ball on the 9th instead.
That like Treasure Island mindset. Home run porch up there, it's a good spot to catch a couple home runs.
I think you already have the regular season mindset going, Jeff. I think you're ready to go. When do you head down?
I'll start the drive on the 11th. So.
All right. Well, you guys have a great, safe drive down there. It'll be more fun than that 14-hour trip to E-Town. Probably better company. Probably smell a little bit better in your car than on that bus. We will see you in Fort Myers. Can't thank you enough for joining us today. In the wake of a busy weekend up here, travel to make some time for us. We appreciate it. And can't wait to see you down in Fort Myers.
Sounds good. Good to talk to you.
All right, take care. That's Ryan Jeffers, Twins catcher. He's here on Inside Twins. Again, it's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated, how memories are created, legends are made. Great stuff from Jeff on Jorge Polanco, on the trade, on some of the newcomers. We now know that he touched up Di Sclafani for a long ball when he saw him this last year, his thoughts on Justin Topa as well. And we got to see his prom pictures, which is always a good time. We will do this again next week. We hope you'll join us then. For now, we say so long right here at your home for Twins Baseball.
You have been listening to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.